John chapter number 15. We're going to look at verse number 1. Start there in verse number 1. Bible says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Once again, Lord, I don't take it for granted. Lord, I'm not worthy to stand here. There's much better people that could present this. But Lord, I pray that you would guide my words, guide my thoughts. Help me to say exactly what you would have me to say this morning. And just help the folks here this morning that you would just work on their hearts. Lord, I do pray that you just give us a quiet spirit this morning. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible gives us here in John chapter 15, it gives us an analogy. It gives us an analogy of a very interesting thing, all right? And I've done some research recently, and I've been looking, honestly, we plant our own plants, and I've got some peach trees, I've got some apple trees, and I've been looking for an apple variety called Gold Rush. Now, I don't know, has anybody ever had a Gold Rush apple? All right, not a very common apple, and but I've been looking for this because it was developed by Purdue University, and it was very much developed for Indiana, kind of our climate and that type of thing, and so I've been looking for this apple variety, and honestly, I can't find it. You know, there's all the typical ones that you find in, you know, most nurseries: Honeycrisp and Gala and, you know, Red Delicious, Yellow Delicious, Granny Smith, and everyone probably has an apple that you like. Ladies that bake pies, there are certain apples that are better for pies, all right? There are certain apples that are better, you know, just to eat. And so I've been looking at a lot of different things. I guess it's just one of the hats I wear a lot of different hats, and that's one of them. I think it's interesting. So in my search for this, I've started thinking about this idea of grafting. And grafting has been around for thousands of years, okay? You can't really find the beginning of the history of grafting. And we've come a long way with grafting, okay? Now they're grafting, you know, not just plants, they're grafting, you know, human tissue. You know, if somebody gets burnt or something, they do a skin graft. And it allows people to recover quicker and be able to have a life that otherwise they may not have be able to have. But the basic premise behind grafting is taking a rootstock or something that is a root or has a root, and taking that rootstock and grafting or attaching a different variety to that rootstock and allowing that rootstock to give that, it's called a cultivar, to give that cultivar the life that it needs to grow. Okay, and can you guys, Joe and Samuel, I like visuals, so it's almost a given. But so I brought a visual. I had to buy a tree anyway, and I couldn't find the one I wanted, so I just bought one. Awesome, thank you. This is a Gala apple tree, and so this tree, and if you'll go to most nurseries, and you'll dig around the root wad. So if you'll dig down here at the bottom of this tree, you'll find a bulge, a scar on the bottom of that tree. Pretty much every tree, in order for it to stay true to it, the name of that breed, of that variety of apple, it must be grafted. okay? No tree, you know, you go buy a Honeycrisp tree, it is a grafted tree, okay? And the reason they do that is because the Honeycrisp or the Gala is actually a hybrid, okay? It is a hybrid tree. And this is true not just in trees. This is true in a lot of different things. For instance, we had Cornish cross chickens last year, and we raised some chickens for meat birds. And, you know, if a Cornish cross hen lays an egg, you would think, oh, well, I get a what? Cornish cross chicken. But that's not necessarily true. Because, see, that chicken was bred by two different varieties. That's why it's called a cross, okay? And if you allow that chicken to lay eggs, it will tend to one variety or the other of those two. Now, it may have a few traits, but it won't be a true Cornish cross chicken. If you take if I took an apple off of this tree and I cut it open, and I know, I remember growing up, now it never was successful, all right? But you remember growing up, you know, you would take an apple and you were going to be the new Johnny Appleseed, all right? And plant trees all over the countryside with your apple seeds. And you'd go and you take those apple seeds and you plant it. Now, quite honestly, I never had one that I ever found again, okay? We may have mowed it or something, I don't know, but my green thumb wasn't so green, but I never found it. But even if it would have come up, it would not have been a true Gala apple tree. It would have been a different variety, one of the varieties that was crossed to make that tree. And so this idea of grafting it kind of started fascinating me. And the Bible here in John chapter number 15, it gives us basically a parable, a story, if you would, of or an illustration of a graft, okay? And we have actually out here on the hill, and one of the church members, when Pastor Robert Ross passed away, bought two apple trees, and they're sitting up here on the hill. The problem is I have been very negligent in taking care of them, all right? And so they've almost gone back to maybe like a crab apple variety, all right? And honestly, crab apples are very hardy. You know, it's one of those things you wish sometimes you could kill, but you can't. And so they use crab apple actually as a rootstock for a lot of different things. So I went up there to that apple tree, and I took my knife. Oops. I took my knife, and I cut some first year growth, okay? Now, this is growth that grew last year. Okay. Now, honestly, this is a little late to be grafting, but I did it for the sake of the illustration. All right. But I cut this last night. Okay. And so I could take, in theory, I can take this and I can put it on this tree, and I will be able to produce from a Gala apple tree whatever breed of apples is out there. Now, I don't know what it is, quite honestly, so it would be a surprise, all right? It's like a mystery box that you get, you know, it's a surprise. So I can do that. And I would have all of these branches producing Gala apples for me, and this branch would be producing a different type of apple. Just this one branch. Because this branch is now getting life from the tree. It's getting life from it, but it's producing its own fruits. Okay? You can go to the store and you'll pay a little bit more money for them, but you can go and you can buy an apple tree that will give you five or six different kinds of apples on the same tree. Okay? It'll give you those different kinds of apples. You can actually, there's within the species, all right, you can graft different fruits together on the same tree within the same species, okay? Now, I can't take a peach tree and graft an apple on it and have peaches. I mean, that would be wonderful. It would revolutionize our fruit production in America, okay? But that's not possible. It doesn't work together. But I can take any apple and I can graft it on here, and I can produce with that a different breed of apple. And I got thinking about this, and this morning I'm just going to teach preach a few lessons I've learned in studying this idea of grafting, because the Bible relates this very much to the Christian life, okay? And in several different passages, one here in John chapter 15, one in Romans chapter 11, it very specifically talks about this grafting process, okay? So I'm gonna speak this morning on this, just some lessons I've learned from grafting. First of all, this branch, I want you to understand something. This branch in and of itself right now has no life. You know what I've done? Last night, I took my handy-dandy grafting knife, is what this was last night. I took my grafting knife last night, and I cut off the life source of this branch. The life source is in the cambium layer. It's right underneath the bark. There's a thin layer of right underneath the bark. That is where the life of the tree goes up and down. The sap rises, sap falls through that cambium layer. That's why when you sometimes, guys, if you get a little carried away with your weed eater and you weed eat a tree really hard, it'll kill that tree. Even though I didn't cut the tree down. No, you basically, they call it girdling it. They girdle that tree and it cuts that cambium layer, okay? So what I did last night, I basically killed this. Unless there is some way to give this back life, it's dead. If you'll notice in John chapter 15, verse number 6, the Bible says, "If a man abide not in me," what does that mean? It's been cut off. It's been separated from the tree. Okay? "If a man abide not in me," the Bible says, "he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Okay? So, and honestly, that's what we all do, right? We live in rural America. Praise God. We don't have to put our trash or our, vegetative debris in the trash can. I don't wait for somebody to come pick it up. You know what I do? Depending on the size, I either pick it up by hand. If it's bigger than my thumb, I use my tractor just because that's what anybody with a tractor does. You do not get off the tractor for any purpose whatsoever. So I'm not joking with that, honestly. But you know what I do? I take these and I stack them in a stack and I burn them. Because it has no purpose. This clutters up my yard. I hit it with my mower. I don't want that. So I pick them up and I burn them. But the first thing, the first lesson that I think that this grafting teaches us this morning is, you know, the Bible says that Jesus, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "I am the true vine." I am. Who is that talking? Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." In verse number 6, it says, "If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth." So what is this? There's something that has separated man. This, each one of us is like this. There's something that separated us from this. Genesis, if you'll take your Bibles, if you have your Bibles this morning, Genesis chapter number 2. If you don't, I encourage you, just listen. I'm going to read you the Bible for verbatim. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 16, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man," this is Adam, we're going all the way back to Genesis, "the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree," all right, here we go again, "of the tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." But here's something interesting. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely," what? "Die." What is that? Okay, God said, I'm putting a line in the sand right here. This is something that you cross this line, and there is a penalty for that. Okay? Let's see what man did in chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, the Bible gives a story of this temptation. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, is that what God said? No. Okay. We'll keep going. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Is that what God said? No, God said, you eat this, and you'll die. All right? But that's not what the devil said. The Bible says, verse number 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What did man just do here? Adam and Eve, the first thing that they did, God put a command out there. God said, this is my law, this is my command. And Adam and Eve broke God's commands. That is what separated them. Because of that, because God said, in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. God comes and visits him. Says, what did you do? Well, we didn't do nothing. All right? They tried to pass the blame. But verse number 19, here is the curse. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You know what happens to this? If it's not burnt, it becomes mulch. And pretty soon, you don't even know it's there. It goes back to the earth. It does. It's just what happens. It's nature. Okay? You know what happens to us? Because of our sin, there was a penalty for our sin. Bible says in Romans chapter 5, I'll just read this verse, verse number 12, wherefore as by one man, who is that? Adam. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that what? All have sinned. Listen, folks, it wasn't just Adam's sin that separated, it wasn't Adam's sin that separated me from God. You know what separated me from God? My sin. You know what separates you from God? Your sin. Okay? That's what it is. Okay? I can't look back and say, well, it was Eve's fault. No. You know what separates me, Chad Gordon, from God? Is sin. Because I have disobeyed commandments that God has said to do. Okay? You know, we have the legendary, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. You know, honestly, folks, if you're honest, the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind things that you know you should not have done. You know what the Holy Spirit is doing right now? He's saying, this is what separated you from God. This is what separated you. Friend, my sin has separated me from God. The sin curse was placed upon all men. Sin is a trespass, just like crossing a property line. All right? There's a line there. You're trespassing. Sin also means to miss the mark. You know, some of us, I shoot some archery. I deer hunt, Brother Nathan. There's other guys in here that we bow hunt. You know, it's not the fact when I miss, it wasn't the fact that I intentionally missed, right? I wasn't trying to miss. You know, especially in archery, you've only got a short amount of range. Now, my range is much shorter than a lot of guys' range. You know, now, some guys can shoot 100 yards with a bow. All right, I'm more the 10 yard guy. Okay, I like to be safe. Okay, but I kill a lot of deer. But the thing is that it's not the fact that I wasn't trying. You know, there's a lot of good people in this world. But good people still sin. All right? Good people still sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Short just means like you just fell short. All right, Brother Chad, I'm a good person. Okay, I believe you. But we've all fallen short. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, now listen, put this in correlation with what we just talked about me cutting the branch off the tree. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Why did it say death and hell? This is the second death. Listen, folks, it's not just a physical death. We all will stand before God and give account for what we have done. It's not just the things, it's not me just, well, I'm just gonna live my life, live it to the fullest, and when I die, and that's it. The worms eat me, and I'm done. Hopefully I leave a legacy behind. It's not about that, folks, because all of us will stand before God. This is the second death, and whosoever, listen here, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Bro, Chad, that's a terrible list. And all liars. Well, that's not so bad. I've told a white lie before. Lie. It's still a lie. It doesn't matter what color it is. Red, yellow, black, white. I've never heard somebody, I just told a yellow lie. Kind of in the middle, you know? Wasn't real bad, wasn't real good. Listen, all of us are sinners. All of us have the same penalty. You know what they do? Gather them all up. Those that are not abiding, those that do not have a part of the body of Christ are gathered up and thrown into the lake of fire. That's when you stand before God. That's when I stand before God. Okay, we all do. Bible says, John chapter 15, verse 6, we were just there. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So, first of all, something has separated us from God, and that is sin. Every one of us has separated us from God. Second of all, Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's no multiple vines that you can choose and pick which way you want to get to heaven. John chapter number 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 3, verse number 16. Most of you could quote this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I want you to think with me this morning. I brought a couple different other illustrations. All right? I have these jars of water. I want you to, and we've all done this. I remember, and my kids just did it yesterday. The daffodils are in bloom right now. They're very pretty. And my kids went and they picked mom, you know, a bunch of daffodils. I was just grateful they were daffodils, not dandelions. All right? But we've all done that. We've all gone and we've all picked mom flowers and different things. And what do we do? What does mom do with those flowers? She gets a jar of water or a vase and she sticks those in there. Okay? And you know what? Honestly, if you take, and I'm going to do that. See, sin separates it. All right. I can take these and I can put these in water. And you know what? You've all maybe left flowers laying out, perhaps. And within just a matter of hours, they already start to wilt. They start to die. Because they have been separated, just like this branch has been separated from that tree. Those flowers have been separated from what gives them life. But if you ladies would take a flower and you would stick it in a vase, that flower will last. with the same color, the same vibrancy for a period of time. You can even put plant food in it or whatever you want to do to do that. But the fact of the matter is that flower still will die. I want you to think with me this morning. Many people go through life with no real purpose. And I don't mean with not some purpose, with no real purpose. They all try for the little things that bring them happiness. You know, happiness, brother, me and Brother Matt were talking about this morning on the bus. Happiness is because things happen. Joy comes from within. You know, there's a lot of things that make me happy in life. Okay? I like killing deer. That makes me happy. It's my happy place. All right? I like to work. I get great enjoyment from working. Okay? I get great enjoyment. I get as much enjoyment from just, if I had a hobby, it would be working. Okay? I do. I really enjoy to work. I get great satisfaction in that. And that's happiness. Okay? Because it's something externally. All right, we're going to go out here and we're going to watch some big trucks crush cars. That's right, Anthony, crush cars. And you know what? That's going to bring happiness. You know, do you know the guys that, do you know the guys that brings the most happiness to? Is the driver. Right? I mean, we all enjoy watching it, but I would think that there's something just about driving the truck and you hear that crunch, you know. I mean, you're sitting 6 feet above everyone in a truck, all right? There's happiness in that, okay? Happiness. Some people have different, you know, for some people it's cooking. You know, they're that culinary, that's their happy spot is in the kitchen. My happy spot's in the dining room, all right? I'm just a little farther down the road, okay? And we have those things that bring us happiness. You know, a relationship can bring you a lot of happiness. A friendship. You know, my relationship with my wife, and I love she's in the nursery. We were talking about that the other day. I think she's in the nursery every time I preach. I'm not sure if that's by design. My relationship with my wife, it brings me a lot of happiness, okay? I mean, we're best friends. And there's a lot of happiness that comes with that. I'm happy because I'm in church. I love seeing my church family. You bring me happiness. Some because I'm laughing with you. Some because I'm laughing at you, all right? But it brings you happiness, okay? And so we get a lot of happiness from external, what I would call stimuli. Things that externally affect us, and it brings us joy, brings us happiness, okay? If happiness comes from the outside and joy comes from the inside, the problem is if something bad happens on the outside, it affects you completely. You know why a lot of Christians are so dejected today? Is because all they do is listen to Fox News and all the other things that tell them how bad things are. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you heard something positive on the TV, from the news? Period. Okay? How many deaths happened yesterday? And you'll hear about all those, right? But who told you about all the babies that were born yesterday? Oh, we had so many deaths because of COVID and because of, you know, cancer. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there's heartache that comes with that. But what about all the good things that happened? You know, we talk about all the bad things happened in 2020. There was a lot of good things that happened in 2020. But we're so affected by this outside stimuli, and it we're always, you know, indoctrinated or pushed. I say indoctrinated, but that's all we get. And so what happens is, yeah, this branch will survive in this. But this branch also starts to drink this. You know, this little glass of water will only last this branch for so long. This will last as long as the tree is alive. The life that this tree gives these branches isn't even comparable to this little bit of water in this jar. But you know what we do? We go from jar to jar to jar to jar to jar. And people live their lives looking for the next thing. You know, some people do it with drugs. You know why they do that? It's because it gives them that next little bit of life. That next high. People do it with toys. Listen, I like toys. I like tools. Most of my tools are toys. Toys are tools. That's what I meant to say. They're all tools. They all have a purpose. But I like them. But you know what? It only brings temporary happiness. Drugs only bring temporary happiness. That's why they got to go look for the next one. Alcohol only brings temporary happiness. Relationships only, honestly, only bring a temporary happiness. Okay? The next level, you know, for some people it's a, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, I listen to the bus kids sometimes riding in, and young people, listen, we're rooting for you. But there's something bigger than the next level on your video game. Okay? There's a bigger life out there than, you know, whatever the newest one is. I don't know. I don't keep up. I've never played video games in my life, so I don't know. But you know what? For them, it's, oh, you wouldn't believe what I did this week. I beat, you know what that is? How long did that last? I'm all for playing sports. But I've told you, when we went down to Louisiana, you know, basketball teams that had trophies and trophies and trophies and trophies. And you know what? They were all piled up outside because they got flooded and are probably going to get thrown away. You think about how many hours was spent on that. And the thrill of a championship lasts how long? How long does that thrill actually last? But you know what? Say, Bro Chad, why do you do what you do? Couldn't you go out and make money? I reckon. But there's something else. There's something inside that takes the place of all these jars that you got sitting around that give you that outside stimuli. All right? You can't work your way to heaven. There is only one way to heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift. You know, a gift is absolutely free. You don't pay anything for a gift. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. An interesting thought here, the word graft in Romans chapter number 11 literally means to prick as with a needle, to prick or to pierce. I want you to think about this. Last night, because I didn't want to do it in front of everybody because I would probably fail. All right. Last night I took my grafting knife from Ace Hardware and this branch right here, I took it and I cut it off, snipped it, and then I slit it. You know that Jesus Christ, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Okay? You know what? Jesus Christ had to undergo something painful in order for me to be a part of that. Okay? This one right here, all right? This one is shaped a little different. And what I'm going to show you this morning is a cleft. It's called a cleft graft. Okay? A cleft graft. I had to, this was wounded. All right? John chapter 19. This is interesting. Verse 34. And I never thought about this before. Bible says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. What did they do when they put the nails in Jesus' hands? They pierced his hands. What did they do when they put the nails through Jesus' feet? They pierced his feet. Why did they do that? And I know this is an analogy, but it was so that we could be grafted in. Why did Jesus undergo all of that? Did he have to do that? No. He didn't have to die for me and he didn't have to die for you. He chose. He put his hand out there willingly. He chose to do it. Why? So that I could be given new life. I have been separated by my sin. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. None of this. This is just temporary. It could be a job. It could be anything. It's temporary. Sit this out in the sun. Give it 2 or 3 days and they'll all be gone. And this is withered and is gathered up of men. And the penalty is cast in the fire and is burned. My friend, Jesus, the Son of God, took your place and my place. He was the one that reconciled us to God through his blood. It is necessary for this branch to be grafted into the main vine or the tree. But in order for that to happen, this has to be wounded. Grafting is impossible unless the rootstock is cut. That's part of grafting. That's the nature of grafting. Let me say this morning. I'm going to read this verse. Isaiah 53:5. I referenced it. Let me read it. Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace, of our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Because of this, this has the opportunity. I'm not saying it will. This has the opportunity for a whole new life. A whole new life. Something that's not this or this. Something that is part of this. A whole new life. Listen, folks, it's not about your pedigree. I don't care what your last name is. It's not about your pedigree. It's not about your father who may have been a godly Christian or your godly grandmother that went to church or whatever your thing is. Because, listen, one of the interesting things about grafting is that in order to stay true to name, it must be grafted. It cannot come from the fruit. Think about that. That's a pretty powerful. This produces a fruit. Young people that go to church, young people that have grown up here, just because you're the fruit of a Christian parent or the fruit of a godly heritage does not mean that you are a part of the tree. You still got to be grafted in. Just because you go to church every Sunday morning, some of you bus kids are very faithful. You come every Sunday. But just because you come or your grandparents came or your great-great-grandpa was a Baptist preacher, you still have to be grafted in, to be true to name. It's not about your pedigree. It's not about your name. Everyone must be grafted in. The Bible says every one of us stands before God. You will stand before God and give an answer of what you have done in your life. I will. You will. Friend, let me ask you, are you tired of living a life without purpose? Are you tired of the frivolous things that bring temporary happiness? Temporary happiness. Do you understand that our sins have separated us from God and that because of that separation, there is death? All right? Separated. Death. But because Jesus Christ was wounded for my sins, why did Brother Chad... This tree I bought yesterday. Okay? Why did I, there was no reason I cut this except for the fact that I wanted to put this in here. No other reason except for that. And I can take this and I can insert, maybe, this cleft into that notch. Now, it probably won't stay because it's supposed to be wrapped. I can bandage that, and within a short amount of time, this graft will start to heal. And a life that once was destined for a lake of fire has found new life in Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, it's not about anything that this did except for the fact that I had to recognize my position. I had to recognize that there was a penalty coming. And I had to go to Jesus Christ and say, I want new life. I want to be a part of the family of God. Okay? Let me ask you, would you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today? I had to do it. Everyone in here that would raise your hand and say, Brother Chad, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You know what that literally was? It was this. It was an ingrafting. It was something that would change your life if you let it. Okay? No longer am I living from this temporal. I now have life. John chapter number 15. John chapter 15. I'm going to read verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy is different than happiness, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. If ye abide in me and I abide in you, I never understood that. What does it mean to abide in him and he in me? You have to be a part of this in order for the life of this to be your life. Brother Chad, why do you do what you do? Why do you, you know, take a week and go with teenagers someplace? Who does that? Because there's a different life. And you know what I don't have to worry about? As long as I have life, I don't ever have to worry about the lake of fire. I don't ever have to worry about being gathered up and thrown into hell. Why? Because I have life. Eternal life. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17, the Bible says, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says? I am the true vine and the Father is the husbandman. You know what this is? When I become this, I am a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've got probably four messages I could preach on this one thing of grafting, how it relates to the Christian. But listen, folks, because I was separated from God, because Jesus was wounded for my transgressions, he took my place. He paid my penalty in hell. Bible says in Romans 6:23, we read the first part earlier, for the wages of sin is death. What is that? Wages is what you get for what you do. Simply put. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of salvation is free, but you have to come to him. Think about this. This moves. This moves. You can take happiness with you. What I mean by this is, you know what? Jesus was wounded for your transgressions. Jesus paid the price for your sin. But you, because he is rooted, and that's a whole nother truth. When the storms rage, when the winds blow, do you know what stands their ground? That which is rooted. Do you know what can endure the storm? That which is a part of that which is rooted. You know what Jesus was called? The root of David. Pretty neat. You can withstand the storms. You can withstand those. Listen, bad things happen to good people. But when you've got life, all right? But you know what? Listen, folks, you got to come to him. He offers. You know what this is? This is an offering. This cleft here is not just available for this one. It's also available for this one. And this one. And this one. It's not choosy. It's not picky. Brother Chad, you just don't know what I've done. It's still open. You know what, folks? Jesus' arms are still open. He's still willing. God is not willing that any should perish. He does. If he could save all of them, he'd save them. I can cut this off down here, right here. I need to leave one so it encourages growth. I could cut it off here, and I could put probably six right here in this one spot. Every one of these I could cut off. Every one. Listen, there's still room at the cross for you. It's open. It's open. But it's your choice. I can give you a gift. I can hold out a gift. Joe, I can give you I carry a flashlight with me all the time. I can give this to you. But you have to reach out and take it. Okay? That's the nature of a gift. In review, sin separated me from God. That separation, because of that separation, there's death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. That separation separated me from God. Listen, folks, it's not about the external, the stimuli. It's about true life. It's about true life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to pray. I want to ask you this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Chad, you talked about that joy that you have. Brother Chad, you talked about, you know, the being a part of the family of God. But Brother Chad, I've never come to Jesus. I've never recognized the fact that my sin has separated me from God. Let me encourage you this morning. Let me encourage you. His arms are still open. You know what? There's still a spot right here for a graft. There's still a spot that new life can be given to a branch that's destined to die. But you have to come. Just as you are, you don't have to change. But Chad, I got to change this. No, you don't. You don't have to change nothing. You come just as you are, and God will receive you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, Lord, I did what I could this morning. Lord, you spoke to my heart the last couple days. God, I thank you for allowing me as a young man to recognize my need of you. Lord, I knew I was a sinner. I knew that I deserved to go to hell. But God, because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of the gift of righteousness through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, I now have joy that is unspeakable. I can't even describe it to people. Lord, you've given that to me. Lord, I want that to be given to others. Lord, all I am is just a grafted branch trying to tell other branches how they can be grafted. And God, I pray that you'd work on our hearts this morning. And Lord, thank you for the activities that we have coming. But Lord, I pray that this time will be spent with as a time of getting things right with you. God, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name.